Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Horford, 2 for 2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Kyrie, how important is it to see number 11 up there one day?
It's quite important, and I appreciate that scout. I joined him, but I shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. You guys will have me back. I plan on re-signing here next year.
Boom!
So, I appreciate it.
Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, and you, if you want to join the show at 617-779-0985. So that was Kyrie Irving, basically out of nowhere, Thursday night at the season ticket holder event, announcing that he is planning on staying with the Celtics long term. If it's to be believed, obviously great news. You heard the pop from the crowd there. I'm sure they're still, they probably had to get a cleanup crew in there like it was an early 70s peep booth. But I do actually think that it is to be believed, because while you and I kind of have the same feeling about this guy, Kyrie Irving, odd duck.
Tends to go mercurial.
Yeah, tends to go whichever the way the wind is blowing. I do think, and maybe I'm buying into what's happened with him just in like the last couple of weeks, I do think he's gotten a little bit introspective, Chris, and self-aware. He's realized, well, with the flat earth thing, you know, earlier this week he was at the 30 under 30 event. Was it over at MIT? What was that?
It's like Forbes 30 under 30.
Yeah. So he's up there on stage and says, you know what? I sound like a conspiracy theory idiot when it comes to the flat earth stuff. I apologize for that. And, you know, and then when it comes to his profession as a NBA basketball player, he's looked around and I think he's realized, yes, this is the best fit. We can win multiple championships here with this young core. I don't need to chase whatever the hell it was that I was looking for with the New York Knicks that would get me closer to home. So for now, I am taking him at his word. Maybe I'm a sucker for doing so, but something seems to have changed with Kyrie Irving internally for the better. So your thoughts on this? I thought it was great. Came out of nowhere. I just wish he waited, you know, for when it was like a dead time of the year so we could have talked about
it. Yeah, no, me too. I mean, I think it's great. And I think it's a great sign that he feels comfortable enough to say that. I take him at his word. I think he's being, you know, earnest and genuine. This is how he feels at this point. And he even said, you know, he spoke with the media yesterday and he talked about it, and he said, you know, I think the important thing was just being happy and having an environment where I'm challenged on a physical level, but as well as mental. I can get better as a basketball player, as a man, and grow here. I think that's how he feels right now. I just think a lot can happen throughout the course of the season, and there's a lot of pressure on the Celtics to have a great season, go to the finals, and maybe even win the whole thing. Let's see how it plays out at the end of the year, because I think he's somebody who, you know, 9 months from now could potentially feel different. I hope he doesn't. I don't think he intends to feel differently. Again, he talked to the media yesterday and he said, I have every intention of signing here. I 100% believe him in that. I just think given there's a better place for me, Kyrie Irving, to grow as a basketball player and as a person than the city of Boston. And that wouldn't mean that he lied to you or that, you know, he led you on or whatever. It would just be, this is how he felt in October, and this is how he feels in, say, June. So I don't think this is a done deal at this point.
Well,
I think
nothing
you have
is
to see how it plays
dry.
Out. You have to see how it plays out.
But what are some of the things that you're talking about here that could change? If there's a regression in the team, if, you know, an individual player like Jason Tatum doesn't pop like I expect him to do, yeah, and become maybe a top 10 player in the league, Is it things like that? Or say he gets injured again, and for whatever reason he just decides, you know, maybe he goes into a dark place and says, screw it. You know, I feel cursed here. Then I'm going to go to the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but yeah. I mean, something like that could happen. I mean, you don't know. You know, I think there are a lot of factors that can influence him, and he's not your typical basketball player. We've talked about that a lot. I mean, he's a little bit of an iconoclast when you look at him, the way he thinks about things. And there could be something else that happens in his life or with the basketball situation or relationship with teammates or whatever, something in the locker room where he's like, it's not even a situation where he says, I don't like Boston. It could be, you know, let me just explore this. Like, let me just make sure. And then you go and so I feel a little bit like with him that he takes in a lot of information and makes decisions, but also that it can be the last person to make a really strong, cogent case to him about something will influence him.
So those are the odd things that could knock him off course and have him change his mind. But there's also, because I think, again, he's such an odd duck, I think there's little things, and I agree with this. You mentioned it yesterday in Phil Ramez. Your colleague, Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe, wrote, you know, five things that he was looking into this announcement that Kyrie made. And one of the factors he thinks that could have him, you know, have him change his mind for the better is the new practice facility. And I believe that.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that.
Like, who wants to, you know,
schlep out to Waltham?
Yeah, go out to Waltham. It's not the nicest facility. Now they have this beautiful new place.
It's like,
in Brighton.
You know, it was like in an office park. You know, it was you know, sort of
barren. Felt half-assed.
I mean, you know, it was fine at the time, but it became outdated by NBA standards. And now the new one is great. I mean, you have the view of the city and all that other stuff. It's in a more urban environment. I'm sure, I have no idea where Kyrie lives, but it's probably an easier commute. He's probably in the city somewhere or whatever. You know, maybe the secluded life that, say, a KG led when he played here in Boston is not exactly what Kyrie's looking for. Like, does Kyrie strike you as a guy? And I honestly have no idea where he lives. So I could be talking out of my butt, and it turns out, you know, he's out in Belmont somewhere. I don't know. But does he strike you as the type of guy that wants to live in some sleepy suburb?
No, for the little that I know. And again, like, he's, you know, he's now been has a successful movie, so you can consider him a movie star of sorts. No, I would think he's one.
He seems like the type of guy that wants, you know, he wants to take a couple of trips to the Grand and chill with Drake.
Yeah,
you know, that's what he wants to do.
Get out and be out on those streets. I wouldn't blame him as a 26-year-old man. But I think this is obviously great news. Sort of came out of nowhere. But you know, Chris, I think you are peeing in the pool just a little bit. Just
okay.
Like, but you are right to say until the ink is dry, it really comes down to that. Until the ink is dry and they have the extension, like, things could change.
But I mean, you know, maybe I am peeing in the pool a little bit, and maybe it's just because I'm being cautious. You know, again, this is one of my favorite. You know, I was so, here's the thing that may, you know, that I find so funny. You know, all those people cheered for Kyrie, and rightfully so, but a lot of those people were the same people that when they made this deal last summer were like, no, you can't give up Jay Crowder's contract. So it's like, again, so maybe I'm the guy that's peeing in the pool now, but I've always loved this guy. I was super excited when they made that deal. I remember where I was. You know, I was in Portugal, and I was like, oh, they traded for Kyrie Irving. And I'm reading this stuff at home, and I'm like, why are people mad about this? This is like a steal of a deal. You know, they had to give up, you know, Jicic, and people are pissed. Oh, they had to give up IT. They had to give up Jay Crowder's contract. People are mad about this. And so now those are the same people that are like, well, it's a done deal. You know, Kyrie's staying. I just sort of look at it. Even look at the language. I just want to let everybody know I plan to re-sign here. I have every intention of re-signing.
So there's outs there.
There are outs. And those aren't my outs. Those are, you know, so again, I take him at his word. He's being genuine. This is his plan. This is his intention. But 9 months is a long time. Let's see what happens.
All right, Cam and Taunton on the Kyrie Irving announcement. You're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show today. Hey, Cam.
How's it going today, guys? First of all, Jim, I know I can't do this during the week. I want to thank you for that video in Detroit. It was extremely helpful.
Oh, my pleasure. I was glad that you and others got to enjoy that on the trip out to see the Pats unfortunately get waxed by the Lions, but hopefully you enjoyed Detroit. Underrated city.
Yes, it very is, and I can't wait to go back to the great city. Anyway, on this Celtics team, Kyrie's announcement, obviously great news to this team. But look, I mean, you know, I think Gasper said it, you know, I have a championship expectation for this team this year. Golden State showed cracks in their armor last year. They would have lost to Houston if Chris Paul didn't get hurt. That team is worn down, exhausted. I think Cousins is going to be a non-factor. I think that injury is impossible to bounce back from for anybody, especially someone 300 pounds and over 7 feet tall. So, this year, I mean, I think they're going to take it this year, and they should, but you know, at the same time, I look at everybody on the scene but Kyrie. As far as I'm concerned, this is the team that let Jeff Green score 32 points on them in the final two games of the conference final, the biggest loser in the NBA. So so there you go with that. So that rest of that team's just someone to prove to me when they show up in big games, despite the fact they dragged the team to the conference final. But Kyrie being here, I said this on Felger and Maz yesterday, best news is for the NBA because you're going to get Kyrie and LeBron on Celtics versus Lakers the biggest rivalry in the sport is going to revive with two guys who hate each other. That's going to be must-watch TV once Golden State falls apart, because they should be playing each other in the finals for at least the next 3 or 4 years.
Thanks for the call, Cam, and for the compliment. So it almost feels like the war might be beginning there between Lakers, Celtics with LeBron out there and Kyrie here, because Jay King of The Athletic has the report yesterday that a source says that Kyrie has already talked to Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Davis wants out of New Orleans. We'll play some of that sound later today on the show from Stephen A. Smith. But Anthony Davis recently signed with LeBron's agency.
Yeah, Rich Paul, Clutch Sports.
Which you got to think, okay, it's the fast track to get him to Los Angeles and be a Laker. But Kyrie's talking to him. The war's already begun.
It's gone. Yeah, the recruiting Anthony Davis. It's personal, which is great.
How much is that to be believed, the Anthony Davis? Because, you know, this time last year, it sounded like he had found some peace there.
Yeah.
You know, this year, they finally
I think there's
won the
a lot of people
series.
In his ear, you know, basically telling him, you've heard like KG say it and stuff, you know, you think you're doing the right thing by staying there, but you don't want to give away years of your career. And I think that's penetrated Anthony Davis's skull at this point. And he's loyal to New Orleans, but he's also starting to realize, okay, you know, it just might never happen here. And how many prime years of my career can I give away trying to be the loyal good guy before I just have to rip the Band-Aid off and say, get me out of here. I need to go somewhere where I can win.
So more than anything else, not even the winning thing. I told you when I, you know, cause I'd been there a bunch and I was there for vacation with my girl last year around Christmas time. People don't care, Chris. They don't. That team is such an afterthought. Sure, they'll put asses in seats when they get into the playoffs, but it's not a real NBA market. They couldn't give a rat's ass about the Pelicans in New Orleans. So maybe he's just realized, like, I want to go to a real market. I want to go to a real team. And can you blame him, a guy that talented?
No.
We'll get into more of that, the Anthony Davis rumors that Kyrie Irving has talked to him, trying to get him here. Ooh, getting little tingles. 617-779-0985, the number if you want to join the Sports Hub Celtics show. The one guy who isn't real pumped right now, the coach. Did you hear what he had to say about this team in the last preseason game that they played? They're in action tonight against Cleveland again. He sounds pissed. So we'll hear from Brad Stevens next, and we'll get perspective on this Kyrie Irving news and how this team has looked in the preseason thus far from Brian Robb, who covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. We'll do that next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're hard enough, all that. Then you move to, do we need to change it? And what very well could be, change either personnel or system. And so we'll figure out where it is right now, but I couldn't be more unimpressed after our first 3 exhibition games. You know, we're not as good as advertised right now, and so at least we know that. At least we know that 1 weekend.
Wow, harsh criticism by head coach Brad Stevens, Sports Hub Celtics show. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, 617-779-0985. If you'd like to join the show. But unimpressed. Couldn't be more unimpressed with this team right now. Wow. Ice cold Brad Stevens. I want to get a little bit more perspective on this because I don't want to lie. I'm not going to watch all the Celtics preseason games. And that one in particular I didn't watch because there was a playoff baseball going on. But let's get better perspective on why Coach Stevens was so hot after the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Garden the other night. From Brian Robb. He covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. He joins us here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, B-Rub.
What's going on, guys? Tell us how you really feel, Brad. Jeez. Like,
is he justified in saying that? Who's drawing his ire the most? Is it his starters? What has he seen that he's been so upset about?
Yeah, Jim. So I actually went and took a long look at this on the BostonSportsJournal.com this week. Just kind of breaking down, like, wow, like, this is 3 preseason games, and he's, like, you know, hitting the panic alarm. Like, this must really be bad. And you look at it, and it's defensively, you can see why he was upset. They're, you know, it's a combination of just, like, preseason malaise guys just not, you know, they're skipping steps on defense. They're not in the right spots. They're not contesting shots well. And it's also, you know, some of the guys, dude, that have shown flaws over the years defensively, whether it's, you know, Jaylen Brown getting around screens or Jason Tatum just making too many gambles. There was just pretty much everything went wrong in that Cavs game for the starters. And they honestly, through the first 3 games, that new small ball starting 5 look has not, you know, looks great on that end of the floor. While when guys like Baines and Tice are out there just as a defensive anchor, that they've looked a little bit better there. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it is a little bit concerning, but you know, you talk to the players after the game, they're not really worried about it. It's easy to see why they, you know, they just came off of a, you know, 100-game grind you know, they're not going to get worked up about preseason game number three, but I think Brad Stevens tried to kind of preemptively get their attention here so, you know, they don't start 2-2 or 2-3 out of the gate, which is entirely possible if the Sixers and the Raptors as their first two regular season games.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like to me. He's just sort of putting these guys on notice that, you know, we're not going to skip steps and that the standard is the standard. And I think he realizes that there's a lot of people out here, B-Rob, that are telling these guys how great they are. And he has to make sure he keeps them grounded and that they play the way that they played in the past. And what's interesting to me for Brad is that this is a different type of season for him, because even going back to last year with Gordon Hayward's injury, he's always sort of been able to tell his guys, you're the underdogs, people don't think you can do it. And now it's like, well, everybody expects you to do it. And it's a different mentality and a different type of coaching job that's needed.
Yeah, no question about that. And you just look at how they're playing even offensively too, Chris, so far. It's been a lot of, you know, isolation ball. A lot of guys just trying to get their shots, whether it's Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kyrie does his thing, obviously. And so while it's great that all those guys are capable of that and can, you know, improvise when the shot clock's going down, like, that's not necessarily the best offense. So I think Brad's just trying to get them to, like I said, they're not underdogs anymore. They still need to accept their roles, and they still need to do, like, you know, be in the right spots and, you know, try to get the best shot as opposed to, you know, putting up 25 points on their own every night. And it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get there, but, you know, he still has, you know, obviously a little more than a week here to get everyone on the same page and make sure that they're, you know, putting their best foot forward every night.
Talking to Brian Robb, covers the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 of Sports Hubs. All right, so they take on the Cavaliers in Cleveland again tonight, 7:30. You can catch it here on the Sports Hub. Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward don't travel with the team because of injuries. It's ribs for Kyrie, back with Hayward. Any reason to be concerned here?
No. I mean, Kyrie, I think he might just be celebrating this weekend at home with his friends and family. He literally just told us he had sore ribs on Thursday night, and, you know, that was something that he just told the coaches about after practice that day. So I think he's, you know, he'll be resting up. He'll be ready to go, obviously. Hayward, you know, sore back. It's obviously going to take him some time to get back into the full swing of things here, but that sounds like, you know, a non-issue again with a week to go here. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. Based, you know, it'd be curious to see how they would respond with a full group after, you know, Stephen's speech earlier this week. But, I mean, they'll have, you know, a week's worth of practice to really get on the same page there before the Sixers next Tuesday night.
How has Hayward looked to you, B-Rub, in what you've seen out of him in the preseason so far? Because athletically it looks like everything's there, but obviously there is some rust.
Yeah, there's no doubt, like, shooting-wise, he's been quite a bit rusty. I think he's only hit one three-pointer so far. But I actually, you know, I went back and, like, looked at his first three games for opposing doing this weekend. It's actually better. I mean, he's playing better than the numbers indicate, which I think is encouraging. Like, defensively, he's been in the right spots. He's, you know, sticking with bigger guys. He's been having to guard some of the fours and those small ball lamps, and he's doing it, you know, pretty well for a guy who hasn't been on the floor for 11 or 12 months. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, touch and go with the shooting for a while, I'd imagine, as he tries to find his rhythm. But, you know, the great news with this team is that's fine. Like, there's plenty of guys who, you know, he doesn't have to score 15 or 20 points a night going, you know, for this team to be successful early in the season. So hopefully the biggest challenge, and I think what Brad Stevens is trying to figure out, is like, okay, how can we, you know, fully integrate him right now? How can we maximize his strengths? Because, you know, outside of maybe Al Horford, he's probably the best passer in that starting lineup. And he's, you know, just finding, you know, the timing on things like that, like when to dish in the lane, when to, you know, do it yourself, all those kind of things that are just going to take, you know, reps upon reps to do. You know, that's what he has to work on right now. But the rest of his game, you know, looks pretty solid. And that's, I think, a very encouraging sign for the Celtics.
B-Rob, any concern over the way the Celtics have shot the ball from three in the preseason? I mean, it's 24.8%. That's the fourth worst in the league. Any concern, or is it just, you know, guys are just taking shots, getting shots up, and they're just not falling? It's not a big deal. We know guys have track records, obviously, of being good outside shooters on this team.
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't say, you know, three games is a pretty small sample size there. I will say this, that they're they're not getting the best shot. Like, they can get better shots. Like, they obviously are going to take a ton of threes this year, but a lot of the ones they've taken so far, which I think is partially why Brad was so upset this week, are just, you know, early in the shot clock, you know, above the break threes, which will be there for this team whenever they want them in any game based on the amount of talent they have in their offensive lineup. So I think he would like them to say, hey, you know, like, let's break things down, you know, get into the lane more, guys, like, pass it around a few times. So instead of, you know, having to be a partially contested, you know, three from the top of the key, we have a wide open corner three. So you know, that should come with time again once this group fully, you know, gets integrated together. But they're not there yet right now. And on nights where that those shots aren't falling, it's going to be ugly if they're, you know, not fully engaged on the defensive end either. So if they're going to go small, I mean, Stephen's really just harped on it. Like, we better be outscoring teams by a lot. And, you know, right now, when the shots aren't falling, they're not able to do that.
I want to talk about the Kyrie Irving news, and you mentioned it, and we've talked about it. It's great news for the Celtics, no question about it, and it sends a message to the rest of the NBA. But what does it mean for Terry Rozier and his future here?
Yeah, it's that's fascinating question, Chris, just in terms of, you know, how good Terry has looked this preseason. Because, you know, we knew, you know, he broke out during last year's postseason, but it looks like he's gotten even better right now. He's been, I'd say, the best player on the floor through three games, you know, obviously limited sample size there, but someone who Brad Stevens just said the other day, you know, I have to find more ways to get him on the floor. And now if Kyrie committed, though, like, he, as far as you needing, you know, Danny Ainge needing Rozier as long-term insurance in case Kyrie walked, like, obviously that's faded away now. So you have to weigh the fact that, you know, he is someone who's going to be helping you contend a lot this year versus risking losing him for nothing next year. Now, he's a restricted free agent, so the Celtics have the right to match, you know, any offer he gets next summer. But at the same time, you're not going to be able to afford Irving, Rozier, and Smart at the money that they're all expected to be making. It's just not, you know, feasible with all the luxury tax that you're going to have to pay. So I think the bottom line here for the Celtics is you might have to, you know, you may listen a little bit more to trade offers right now during the course of the year with the confidence that, hey, you know, we might want to get something for him instead of losing him for nothing. Or you say, let's play this thing out. Let's really, you know, put our best foot forward for the season. You're probably not going to get anything better for this current year in a deal than rather than just going for with what you have with Rozier here. And then after the year, you make a decision between Rozier and Smart. And then whoever you don't want, you trade away and use an Anthony Davis deal or whatever other big chip you might want to go for next summer or in the summer beyond.
I feel like Terry Rozier is a little bit like the Jimmy Garoppolo of point guards right now.
Yeah.
So, B-Rob, before we let you go, what are you working on Boston Sports Journal? What are you got coming up?
Yeah, so I'll be taking a look this weekend. Just, I think, an intriguing part of this Kyrie deal. Obviously, him committing is exactly what type of deal he's going to sign. You know, the logic would be the 5-year max, but if you look at it financially, he might opt for a shorter term deal. So I'll take a look at the options he has there and what might make the most sense for him and how that could kind of impact the Celtics' plans going forward.
All right, always good stuff. Brian Robb covering the Celtics for BostonSportsJournal.com. Do sign up. And B-Rob, thanks for taking the time. We'll continue to talk to you throughout the season here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
All right, thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
All right, want to hear from you, too, on your thoughts on Kyrie Irving making his announcement. And also, look, I thought it was, you know, maybe it's been part of this whole introspective self-awareness a couple of weeks he's had here, saying that he no longer believes the earth is flat. I thought that was very big of Kyrie Irving. We'll play some of that sound for you coming up and take your calls at 617-779-0985. All that right after the Sports Hub headlines with Mike Sarge-Ryan.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What you say, what you do, and how you mean it. At the time, I was like huge into conspiracies. Everybody's been there. Everybody's been there like, yo, what's going on with our world? You know, like you click a YouTube click and it goes like how deep the rabbit hole goes. It's like, yo, you start telling all your friends like, yo,
you see that? Did you watch this video? I'm telling you. And, and at the time, it was like, you're like innocent in it, but you realize the effect of the power of voice. And even if you believe in that, it's like, you just, you know, don't come out and say that stuff. That's for intimate conversations, because perception, how you're received, it just changes. Like, no, I'm actually a smart-ass individual. Like, no, it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it's not it's not like I was just coming out and saying that. So it was like, at the time, I just didn't realize the effect. And right. I was definitely, at that time, like, I'm a big conspiracy theorist. You right. can't tell me anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sorry about all that, you know, for all the science teachers, everybody coming up to me like, you know, I gotta reteach my whole curriculum. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So that's Kyrie Irving earlier this week at the Forbes Under 30 Summit. Finally having this realization, some self-awareness, that you sound like a complete a-hole talking about the flat earth thing. Like, I thought that that was big of him. I really do. And so, I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence, Chris, that, you know, you have that earlier this week, and then later in the week at the season ticket holder event, he's like, yeah, hey, I'm going to re-sign here next summer. Huh, everybody? Like, it feels to me like he's had some sort of, and to use the term your colleague at the Globe, Adam Himmelsbach, wrote yesterday, like, there's maybe an inner peace going on with the kid right now.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say, though, is, you know, listening to that, and I read it, too, I don't think he's walking back from the flat earth thing. He's just saying, like, I shouldn't have been as public with it. There are some things you should keep to yourself.
Yeah, there was that part of it, too.
Yeah,
yeah, he's right. Yeah, when you fall down a YouTube rabbit hole, like, certain things you don't want to talk about in public.
So speaking of the rabbit hole, I think I'm just going to bring us down it. So it's funny because my wife and I were talking about this, and I mentioned it, and I said, well, you know, everybody has things they don't, you know. I'm not a believer in the moon landing.
Oh, you're one of those, huh?
Yeah, no, didn't happen.
It was all staged?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, we have the technology to do this in 1969, and we can't do it now.
That's a good point. And if you've ever been to the Kennedy Museum, they have one of those you know, things that they used in the 60s.
The Saturn rockets?
One of the things that the astronauts supposedly were in.
The capsules?
The capsules.
Yeah.
You look at this thing, and it's like, this is a hunk of junk. Like, they set that up there in the 60s, yeah. So I can understand. I tend to believe it.
Yeah, that thing's not getting past the Van Allen belt. Sorry.
I tend to believe it, but I can understand why those of you who don't. All right, so there we go.
So, like, I have my Kyrie. So, yeah. And I just put it out there, you know, but that's so, you know. And maybe I shouldn't have said that, but, you know, I'm just saying we all have things we probably believe that maybe we shouldn't put out there, or that are kind of crazy or like a little kooky and whatever.
Hey, I think the mob killed Kennedy. You know, it was the head of the Chicago mob at the time. Kennedy reportedly,
you got to cut off the head of the snake, right?
Allegedly, Kennedy had a little dalliance going on with the head of the mob in Chicago's girlfriend. The head of the mob up there really didn't like it. And that was one of the reasons they took him down. Well, that and he and his brother were, starting to crack down on the mob at the time. See, now we're going down these rabbit holes. It's very easy to do.
But this is what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we're good at.
Okay, a lot of you have been hanging here. You want to get in on the Sports Hub Celtic shows. Let's go to John in Reno. You're next up here on the Sports Hub. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I'd like to hit you with some Green Teamer positivity, if I may.
Please.
Do it.
So I think everything right now is coming up Celtics. Brad is in full Brad bot mode already. It's like, it's great. You have Gordon Hayward getting them back into the mix, figuring that out. And then you have Kyrie all aboard the Celtics train. It's a perfect day. The sun is shining. And the only thing that's ruining it right now is having to hear Sarge's voice on the radio. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. You're get out of here. Cut him off, Jim.
Well, he's already gone, Sarge.
Well, he gets a Sarge smackdown.
Oh, is that a new thing?
Yeah.
That's no longer the dishonorable discharge?
Well,
you still have that at your disposal?
That's all right. That guy's just being a Toucher and Rich wannabe, but that's okay. He probably... Did you hear him there? Did you hear his mom? She was like, hey, honey.
Yeah, let's go.
I got the Hot Pockets down in the basement.
Brian in Rhode Island, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hello, Brian.
Hey, what's going on there, guys? Brian. How are you today?
Good, good. What do you got?
So, a little bit of Celtics talk here, obviously. I want to know what you guys' thoughts are about Jason Tatum. I mean, I love the kid since he came into the league and on our team since last year. And I want to know, what do you think some of our big strengths are going to be this year with him? And how is his role going to affect the Celtics?
Yeah, I think what's interesting for Tatum is, like, it looks like he's physically bigger. And so when they go to the small ball lineup, he's essentially the four. And you go back to that first preseason game against the Hornets at Chapel Hill, he had a couple of sort of, you know, post up or back down, back to the basket initiated moves that I was like, ooh, I like this. I like this offense with him sort of out of the post. And can he do that? I think that's a new element to his game. It would be a new element to the Celtics offense. I think you look for him to improve defensively as well. And I think also it's what's going to be interesting for Tatum is he was in a situation last year, I think, that due to injuries, he sort of had the best of both worlds. No one was looking at him to carry the team, and he had a lot of opportunities to spread his wings. And now he's in a situation this year where he's going to be looked upon, not to carry the team, but as one of the main guys on the team. And at the same time, he might not have as much room to sort of spread his wings offensively because now Hayward's back and Kyrie's healthy. And I'll be interested to see how he sort of juggles that. The expectation of increased production, but the reality of maybe decreased opportunities to sort of do your own thing on offense. You're going to have to sort of fit into the whole tapestry of the team.
I'm glad it wasn't just me, though, because in looking at some of the photos of him working out with Kobe Bryant, he looked like Diesel. I was like, oh, man, he's like cut up. Someone's cut the carbs out.
Yeah, you can't say Shaq Diesel around Kobe, but he was like Kobe Diesel.
Yeah. Let's go to, you know, we just played that audio of Kyrie Irving talking about how he's, you know, backed off the flat earth thing. Glenn on 95 has a thought on this. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that he never actually says, I think the earth is round and not flat. He just apologizes for saying it and saying, I should have kept that for more intimate conversations. He never actually said,
yes,
I don't think the earth is flat.
Yeah, Jim. He never backed. You're overplaying this, Jim.
This was more, so I just took this as like, hey, he's not an idiot anymore when it comes to this thing, but he's right. He really doesn't. And all it is an apology to science teachers, who I'm sure he got inundated with emails and tweets and texts and God knows what.
Deflategate science teachers were like, hold on a second, Kyrie.
Let's go to Nate in Orlando, who wants to crap on the Celtics defense thus far in the preseason. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, guys. So it's a rule of thumb as an NBA fan not to overreact to summer league or, you know, the preseason.
I think it's called the Marco Bellinelli rule.
Yeah. But, I mean, when it comes to bad things, I overreact. So the defense has just been bad. And the reason why it's so concerning to me is I like the Celtics' confidence, but at the end of the day, they're not the Warriors. The Warriors had three players last year that averaged over 22 points per game. Last year, the Celtics had Kyrie, and the next was Jaylen Brown. So if their defense is not up to par, I'm not 100% confident that their offense can just, you know, every night just outscore teams. And you mentioned it, Gasper, how, you know, the past three postseasons, the Celtics had a chip on their shoulder. You know, people were counting them out. This year, you know, there's a target on their head from every team in the league. You got the Warriors, and everyone looks at the Celtics as second best team. So if they're going to, you know, play sloppy defense and, you know, and not get back on defense this year, I still expect them to, you know, make it deep. But, I mean, seeding could have an effect based off of how they play, you know, on defense this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it, you know, obviously it is preseason. And so, you know, the effort's not quite the same and you're sort of feeling it out and feeling things. But I think one of the issues here and one of the reasons, Jim, that Brad was so outspoken and upset is that I think he looks at his team and he says, our identity is defense and you guys are losing that. You now think your identity is offense and that we're just going to be like the Warriors and jack up a bunch of transition threes and that's who we're going to be. No, who we are and who we've always been is based on defense. And I think Brad doesn't want to lose that identity and he doesn't want these guys to lose that identity in the press clipping.
Well, I didn't catch this last preseason game against Cleveland because, again, there was, I forget what playoff game was on at the time. It might have been the Yankees and Oakland. But I keep reading that, you know, the big man in the middle, the rookie, Robert Williams, has looked kind of lazy at times. And I know Paul in Somerville wants to talk about that. Paul, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show.
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton of preseason either, Jim, but I kind of think the opposite. I think he's looked kind of good when he's been out there. You can see why they drafted him. He has the ability to switch on to smaller guards and get out there and block a shot. And I know it's preseason and it might not matter in a vacuum, but if he flashes and he contributes, that's a huge asset for the Celtics, especially if they try to go get an elite big man like the guy in New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know what the expectations for the kid are. He had the knee thing that had him miss summer league. There was times, and even, you know, Heinsohn's pointed out, like, one of the times I saw it, it's like he's kind of huffing and puffing. Maybe he's just not in shape. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't. They got to get themselves into game shape. But I don't know. The little I've seen him, I'm like, I'm not that impressed.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a big role in this team because they don't need him to. I mean, to me, it's a little bit like when the Pistons were, you know, champions and brought in Darko Milicic. It's like you're sort of looking down the line to see if this guy can develop. They took a flyer on him. He's a ton of talent. You hope that they can maybe make him a little more mature in their environment and in what they have going and the ethos of their organization. You hope that. For me, I look at him, and what I hope is the upside is that he's a rim protector and rim runner, and maybe you end up with a Tristan Thompson type of player. If you end up with a guy like that, and we all saw it last year in that Cleveland series. I mean, you know, Tristan Thompson is a guy that gives Al Horford some issues and that gives the Celtics some issues. If you end up with that type of player with this kid a couple of years from now, that's a big win. That's a very useful, productive player for a championship-type team.
All right, one of the big NBA talking heads believes it's all but a matter of time before Anthony Davis is out of New Orleans. He wants out. Will he land with the Celtics? We'll play some of that audio for you next and discuss Jay King's article about this very thing, that Kyrie Irving has talked to Anthony Davis about teaming up in Boston, as we wrap up this week's Sports Hub Celtics show next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show. This is Jaylen Brown. Celtics basketball, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show, on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the most part, I think you're right. I definitely think that he wants out. He signed with Clutch Sports and what have you. Anthony Davis doesn't want to be in New Orleans any longer. Jaylen is absolutely right about that. Whether it's definitively the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm not so sure. I would keep Golden State and Boston in the mix because Golden State doesn't know what Kevin Durant is going to want to do. And Boston obviously has the requisite pieces to put together to make sure they can get the player the quality of an Anthony Davis. So I would put Golden State and Boston as possibilities along with L.A., but there is no question that Anthony Davis, this will in all likelihood be his last season in New Orleans.
All right, Stephen A. Smith on ESPN's Get Up earlier this week saying Anthony Davis, change of heart, wants out of New Orleans. Great city, good party town. Just get fatter by the day there. Some of the best eating you'll have in this country. Maybe that's why he wants to get out. Too much etouffee. I have to leave the area. No, I think he just realized, you know what? The fans around here don't really give a rat's ass. I want to go to a real franchise like the Lakers or the Celtics. The Lakers would be where he would be fast-tracked to, as Stephen A. mentioned there. He's now signed with LeBron's agency. So, hey, that's their connection there. But then we have this from Jay King of The Athletic. Heck, I imagine Anthony Davis running the lane alongside Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Jason Tatum. That may not be impossible. What? Rumors about the New Orleans center's future have persisted. It's not time for the Pelicans to make a decision on Davis yet, but if he turns down a mega extension next summer, the Pelicans could have no choice but to trade him. Oh. If they do, the Celtics will be one of the obvious suitors, with Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, Robert Williams, and or a number of future picks, including a possible top five selection to dangle. Even if Tatum's off the table, Chris, Boston would be able to field a competitive offer. Several league sources have said they believe Davis could end up either with the Celtics or the Lakers if the Pelicans were to move him. If he landed with the Celtics, he'd be reunited, and it feels so good, with former Team USA teammate Irving. The two have already spoken about what it would be like to play together in Boston, according to a league source. Yes, it would cost a king's ransom. Who would you be willing to put in? Is it Brown? Is it Tatum? Both? Neither? What would you do? And how realistic do you think this is?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, you know, again, I've said this before, Anthony Davis, I think, is like the holy grail for Danny Ainge. I mean, this is the guy he's kind of chasing. It's the modern-day Kevin Garnett in Ainge's mind, this guy that he's been after for years, and let's see if he can get him.
And you're right, it's years, plural. Like, years, he's been lusting for this boy.
Years they've been trying to get this guy. It'd be interesting to see what you could do. I mean, if you have, you know, if Kyrie's here, then you can throw Terry Rozier in there. You could throw that Sacramento pick in there. You can throw the Memphis pick in there. You know, I don't want to part with my guy Jaylen Brown, but if I'm forced to, you know, gun to the head for a healthy Anthony Davis, who is 25 years old and turns 26 in March, I probably would do it, yeah.
Is there any player that's off the table? So, like, Tatum to me is still off the table. I'm not putting him in any kind of permutation for a deal for Davis. But Brown, yeah, I can be talked into that. And picks, like, what the hell do I care?
Yeah, I mean, any guy, I'm trying to think who would be up. See, I'm not as, I like Tatum a lot. I do, but I'm not as big on he should be untouchable as you are.
Okay.
You know, I think Tatum, Brown, to me, is closer to a toss-up than a lot of other people feel. I think you could be fine with either one of them. I still think there's a lot of room for growth for Jaylen Brown, you know, to become a better basketball player. And I think he's already a better defender. But Tatum's offensive ability, you just he came into the league as a fully formed offensive player, a guy that can go out there and put the ball in the basket. And those guys are so rare that it's hard to give them up.
So one thing about the player, though, and we've talked about it before, and you know, I feel like it's so overlooked, big man with injury history, though. That's the one red flag with Anthony Davis, and that's why I'd be, you know, a little careful about giving up, you know, too much for the player, because, I don't know, a big man with, like, feet and ankle injuries, especially early in his career, doesn't reek of longevity. One thing, too, I wanted to mention about this, because this talk will continue about Davis potentially coming to the Celtics. It can't happen this season. And it's because of the rules. The complications. I hate all this stuff. So as much as the NBA offseason could be entertaining, I end up getting a popsicle headache with it eventually after, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks of having these type of conversations, Chris, because there's all these weird, stupid rules and cap implications in the NBA that drive me crazy. It can't happen this year with Anthony Davis. It's because the Celtics acquired Kyrie Irving in a trade last year, and because both Irving and Davis signed rookie extensions as designated players, formerly known as the Rose Rule, because Derrick Rose is the first player to do it, it prohibits the Celtics from acquiring Davis. Ugh. Ah, I hate all that crap. So there you go. But still, exciting times to be a Celtics fan, and number two in the books for the Sports Hub Celtics show. And if you missed anything you want to catch earlier, we do podcast the show. You can catch that on 98.5thesportshub.com. Turn our attention back to the Red Sox, who take game one of the ALDS last night. But we got the bad news on Steven Wright, which just broke within the last half hour. We'll tell you about that. In fact, Sarge is going to tell you about that right here in the Sports Hub headlines. And then we'll turn our attention back to the 5-4 win over the New York Yankees last night at Fenway Park here on Gasper and Murray 98.5, the Sports Hub.